الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Respected elders, brothers and sisters, this week the attention of the country has been turned towards Belleville with regards to the shocking and the very disturbing details of the crimes committed by the now ex-colonel Russell Williams, who is now a resident of our city, at least in the penitentiary. And because of this, you know, when we see this and when we see this trial on the news and we hear about it, you know, we think, hey, he was a soldier. So it's natural that if this is a military town to some extent, and if you're outside, and if you come across a soldier, you know, we might feel a bit uneasy. And by looking at someone in uniform or someone who's in the military, we might be reminded of Russell Williams and his crimes. And we might be somewhat hesitant. We might try to avoid them, perhaps. Or if, you know, there's a soldier who lives in our neighborhood, perhaps we might be a bit more cautious in our dealings with them. And then we might even try to justify this type of fear by saying, you know, being in the military makes people, you know, it makes them vicious, it makes them emotionless, and they want to use their training on people, and that's why they do these type of things. But, you know, if you think about it, do we like it if someone does that to us? So if you turn the tables around, and we think of people who look at us as Muslims and get afraid of us and try to avoid us, do we like it when that happens? There's a lot of people who tend to be more cautious around Muslims or who are nervous. So for example, this week we just had the case in the United States of a commentator, a journalist who was employed by NPR, National Public Radio, and who was fired because he made comments suggesting that, well, he said very clearly on Fox that he was nervous when he saw Muslim travelers wearing Muslim garb on airplanes. So he said when he's flying and he sees Muslims, people who are very visibly Muslim, he gets nervous. And he was fired because of that. So we don't like this type of approach towards us. So when people are judgmental, when they're discriminatory towards us, we don't like it. We hate it. And why do we hate it? Because the fear that people hold of us is irrational. Right? It's irrational, and you think, well, I haven't done anything wrong, I'm not a terrorist, I'm not a criminal, and therefore I get offended if people think of me in that way. But at the same time, many times we often generalize about others. We often generalize about others without any evidence. And we suspect people because of who they are or who they're associated with. And we become afraid of them, even paranoid in some cases. And perhaps this suspicion and this fear, you know, extends to, in some cases, for some of us, to perhaps everyone who's not a Muslim, or who's not from a particular race, or who is from a particular race or ethnicity. Or maybe it's not a fear of people. Maybe we're just afraid of what ifs, right? If you start thinking of what ifs, there's so many what ifs, right? So what if someone breaks into my house while I'm sleeping? Or what if, when I'm flying and my plane crashes and I never get to see my family again? Or what if I get hit by a car when I'm crossing the street? So these fears can start having an effect upon us if we start, you know, thinking about them too much. So first of all, we'll tackle this in a few ways. So first of all, let's talk about suspicion. Right, so in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us that إِنَّ بَعْضَ الظَّنِّ إِثْمٍ, right? That some forms of suspicion can be sinful. Now, let's be clear that this verse, from which this is a part, was revealed in relation to the interactions between Muslims and Muslims. Right? So it's supposed to be about Muslims dealing with other Muslims and not having suspicions and harboring suspicions about our brothers and sisters. But the message is very clear. The message is that there are some forms of suspicion that can be sinful. And what types are these? These are the types of suspicions that are unfounded and that are baseless. So Now, that obviously on the flip side also means that there are some forms of suspicion that are not sinful and that are not baseless, right? So those are that, you know, if there's something to suggest suspicion, right? If there's something to suggest, for example, you know, if there's some sort of circumstantial evidence, there's some reason for us to feel somewhat suspicious, then it's okay to be careful or, you know, to be cautious and to take precautions. So for example, you know, if our neighbor gives us a bad feeling because he or she has had, you know, run-ins with the law and the police is always there. Or if someone is like really, you know, a bit too interested in our life and our personal details and is asking us questions, you know, we normally wouldn't expect someone to ask, then, you know, perhaps we are a bit cautious and we're being careful. But so basically the guideline for suspicion is that if the suspicion is caused by an actual action or behavior that is, you know, uncharacteristic for a person in that position, then okay, maybe, you know, there might be some reasoning for that, for being cautious based upon that suspicion. But it shouldn't just be based on a person's association with an identifiable group. So for example, a person's ethnicity, or a person's religion, or a person's profession. That in itself is not enough to just, you know, make us suspicious of people. Otherwise we'll be walking around getting paranoid everywhere. So that's number one. So suspicion we have to be very careful of. Now secondly, fear and insecurity. So these are, you know, very natural feelings, right? Fear and to feel insecure at different times. But at the same time, they can be a source of many problems. For example, stress and anxiety, and especially in our social and our personal lives. So for example, you know, after watching the news a bit too much or reading the newspaper a bit too much, you know, we might be afraid of staying at home alone. Or, you know, when there's a rise in incidents of Islamophobia and there are incidents against Muslims, we might be afraid of going outside. We might be afraid of flying and so on. So the first thing to do is to figure out the cause. So what exactly is it that's causing us to be afraid? What's the root cause of this fear? Once we figure that out, then we take reasonable precautions to protect ourselves. So for example, if you're afraid to be at home, if you're afraid to be at home alone, or just generally we're afraid, we can do a security assessment of our home. So we look around, there's a lot of material available on the internet, guidelines from police forces, from authorities that, you know, show us areas that we should concentrate on, that we need to be careful on in our homes. So we can do a security assessment of our home. You know, if you need to put an extra, you know, lock or some sort of device, you know, lock the windows, have some sort of plan. You know, what if somebody comes in, and, you know, so on and so forth. It's okay to do that. I personally am very particular, especially about having CO2 detectors, right? Having carbon monoxide detectors, and make sure they're working. Smoke detectors, fire extinguishers, just so that we are well prepared, you know, in the event of something happens that we weren't expecting. A lot of us might be concerned about our personal safety, right? So for that, there's a lot of self-defense techniques available. There are courses on self-defense. And we can research items as well that we can carry that can help us in case we need to protect ourselves. You know, driving, because the reason I'm mentioning all these things is because myself, right, every time I hear something in the news, I always start thinking, oh man, I need to be careful about that, right? I need to be careful about this, I need to be careful about that. And then all of a sudden, like, I have all these things to be careful about, right? So for example, driving as well, right? So car crashes happen all the time. So we can learn on, first of all, we can try to avoid risks and learn defensive driving. Flying, even, you know, you might think that there's not much you can do when you fly in case there's a crash, but there are actually, you know, ways to fly safely. There's even, like, you know, recommendations on what you should be wearing, what type of clothing to wear, you know, where, like, if you're able to choose your seats, what's the best place to sit in an airplane in case of a crash, or what to do in case of an emergency, right? So all of these things are there. So the point is that we do whatever we can to prepare. So we do whatever is reasonable in taking precautions and trying our best and educating ourselves. But then once we've done that, then we need to have faith. Right? We've tried our best, we've taken a reasonable approach, then we have faith. And that's where the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ comes to mind, When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam one day noticed, and this is a commonly known hadith, noticed a Bedouin leaving his camel without tying it. Right? So he just left his camel and he's leaving. So he asked the Bedouin, he said, "Why don't you tie down your camel? Why don't you tie down your camel?" And the Bedouin replied, "Well, I put my trust in Allah." So then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "Tie your camel first, then place your trust in Allah." So what that symbolizes is that we try whatever we can, whatever is reasonable, we try our best in any situation, and then we put our faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we've got to have faith and trust in Allah's protection. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, doesn't just say, "Okay, you just have faith in me, that's it." But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has actually given us, I guess you could call them spiritual weapons of self-defense. Right, so for example, we read Surah Al-Falaq, right? قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقْ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقْ and so on. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually, you know, telling us to seek refuge with Him for protection from all these different things. So from the mischief of the created things, the mischief of the darkness, the mischief of those who practice secret arts, and the mischief of those who are envious. Right, so this is one form of protection. The Prophet ﷺ also at the time of bed at night would recite the three Qul, right? So Surah Al-Ikhlas, Falaq, and Surah Al-Nas as well, as a form of protection. And the Prophet ﷺ has also told us about the importance of the last two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. So the Messenger of Allah ﷺ said that the last two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, whoever recites them at night, they will be sufficient for him. So what does this mean, right? They will be sufficient for him. So Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayh comments on this and says that it means that, you know, it's been, different scholars have given different interpretations. So for example, it means that they will suffice instead of praying Qiyamul Layl. And it was said that, you know, these two verses will suffice against the shayateen, or against shaitan, or against harm. And Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi says that it may be understood as meaning of all these things. So if you recite the last two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah every night, inshallah, and of course having faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us extra protection. Now, let's say we prepare, so we've done everything we've could, we've educated ourselves, we've, you know, planned and everything, and then we've had faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we pray to Him, and we recite all these, you know, du'as and surahs and so on. But then after that, something happens to us. Even despite all that, something happens. So then what? So then we accept it as the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Abdullah bin Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, said, one day, he was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said to him, "Young man," so he was a young boy, he said, "Young man, I shall teach you some words of advice." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I shall teach you some words of advice, very important advice." So he said, "Be mindful of Allah, and Allah will protect you." So if you be mindful of Allah, Allah will protect you. Be mindful of Allah, and you will find Him in front of you, meaning as a form of protection. If you ask, ask of Allah. If you seek help of Allah. Know that if the nation were to gather together to benefit you with anything, it would benefit you only with something that Allah has already prescribed for you. Right? So if everyone gets together and wants to harm you, or sorry, benefit you with something that Allah, if they're trying to benefit you with something, they can only benefit you with what Allah has already prescribed for you. And if everyone, if they all gather together to harm you with anything, they would harm you only with something that Allah had already prescribed for you. So the pens have been lifted and the pages have dried, meaning all of this is in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is going to happen. So whatever comes after trying, so we try first, and then if something bad befalls us, then we accept it either as a test from Allah or as a punishment from Allah, as a prescription coming from Allah towards us. Now, a lot of times if something, you know, bad happens and you weren't expecting it, people might start wondering, okay, was it really a punishment from Allah or was it a test from Allah, right? So regardless of which one it is, I mean, to be honest, we're never really going to know, right? But we take it as a prescription from Allah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ كُلُّ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ, right? Everything comes from Allah. So in either case, whether it's a test or punishment, we use it as a signal to attain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to turn towards Him. Right? So if something happens to us, it's a reminder from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's like a little tap, it's a little knock, or it could be a bit harder. But it's basically a signal to us that we need to turn around, pay more attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, attain closeness to Allah, and turn towards Him. And of course, if anything happens, we know that we should try to be as patient as possible, because إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ, right? Rarely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with those who are patient. We've got to remember that it's natural, right, because of the level of our faith, it's natural for us sometimes to be afraid of people. Be afraid of people. So if we see someone who looks scary, or, you know, basically fits a certain stereotype, we might get nervous, we might get afraid. But we've got to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instead of others, right? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that it is only shaitan who instills fears of his allies into you. So fear them not. So fear them not. Don't worry about shaitan and his allies. Don't fear them. Don't be afraid of them. But rather, fear me, Allah is saying, if you are truly believers. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from unfounded suspicions, and protect us from all forms of fear, all forms of paranoia, all forms of evil, and all pride.